Amen. We believe we've got something to say, whoa, about. Amen. And we do. Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 12, and then I'm going to let you sit down. Amen. You've been standing for a minute. And again, Mark 5 and 1. Make sure that I'm right. I am not right, Shane. Mark 4. Let's try Mark 4. I'm going to keep going through until I find it. Maybe I wrote it down wrong. Yeah, I hear you, Johnny. No, that ain't it either. Let me just read to you what I got, and then we'll figure out where it's at. Find this for me, Shane. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why did this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within himself, he said unto them, Why reason ye things in your hearts? That would be enough for me. Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. You can be seated. Where was it, Shane? 2? Thank you. I don't know where I got 5 from. I want to talk to you a little bit and continue the theme that Jason brought Wednesday. I want to talk to you a little bit about faith and how important faith is. We all have needs in our life, don't we? And we believe God is able to move on these needs. But sometimes it's in the waiting becomes an issue. We pray the prayer, and then we wait for the prayer to come, for God to answer the prayer. And it's in the meantime that the struggle enters in. It's in the tough spot when you're waiting for God to answer that you have to have faith. Because imagine this, if God moved every time you ask him to do something, would you need faith? No, you would just ask it would happen, and that'd be the end of it. If everything in your life came easy, would that be good or would that be bad? Because if you never went through anything to get anything, then how would you cope if everything just happened? If everything in your life was perfect and there was no struggle, there could be no victory. There can't be a victory without a fight. So in the fight and in the struggle is where faith comes in. And we have to use faith to believe. Sam, if you would, bring me a table. I thought about this, and I looked for a stretcher, and I couldn't find one. And I said, maybe I can use a table. I said, that's a pretty crude illustration. But I really don't have a house for us to tear the shingles off either. So I think the table will work as a stretcher today. Four men, and I don't know exactly how it happened, but there's a man in the story the Bible says is sick of the palsy. I've preached this so many times. We don't know his name, but we know his condition. Never tells us who his name, what his name is, but it tells us over and over his condition. We know people that way. We don't know their name, but we know their condition. We know their weakness. We know their struggle. We even label them by their weakness. I mean, there are some people, you can stop right there. Back up actually toward Brother Frankie. Right there will work great. Amen. And I don't know exactly how it happened, but these four men, Dave, if you would, hop on the table. Would you do that for me? Yeah. Yeah, the table. It's allowed right now. If your mom and dad fuss at you, say the pastor made me do it. Here's the issue. I don't know exactly how it went down, if he happened to find people to take him to Jesus, but something's going on in this house in Capernaum. And evidently news had got out. The problem is, again, we know his condition. He is sick of the palsy. He can't get there on his own. And so whether he commissioned them or they understood what was going on, there came four men. Give me four ugly men. You know, I'm going to ask for ugly men. There's one. There's an ugly. Johnny, you can sit down. You're too pretty. Right here up front. Come on up here. We're going to divide y'all into quadrants. Pick him up. Make sure y'all can. Okay. Are you good? The story doesn't even tell us how long they had to carry him. And I got a smaller guy here today. I really think maybe we should switch this up and see how this would work. But they're carrying a full-grown man. Four men carrying him. All right, young, carry him. Walk him, walk real slow, real slow, real slow, real slow. Like in place, kind of. The church ain't very wide. We're going to run out of room. I got to preach this. So as they're carrying him, somebody in the group has faith, right? Now, it must not be him, right? Because when he gets to Jesus, Jesus forgives his sins. The first thing Jesus says is, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That's not why they brought him to Jesus. They brought him to Jesus to get his body healed. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He is much more concerned about the spirit than he is the body. Don't fear the one that can destroy the body. Be afraid of the one that can destroy both body and spirit. Jesus is always concerned about the spirit first. Can I say it like this? If I die with some ailment, I'll be glad to know that my soul is saved. I would rather die with my body racked in pain and know that my soul was saved than to go out of this world in easy fashion and be lost forever. Can you say amen? So they're bringing him to Jesus. Y'all still holding him up? All right, bring him on, bring him on. And slowly, slowly, slowly. Grab that piano bench for me, would you? And their goal, Their whole goal is to get him to Jesus. Their purpose is to get him. Do you have your phone with you? Okay. I text you what to say. Okay. Block us off. It's not yet, just when I ask you. As they're coming through, they get to the door. Come on, y'all, go now. And when they get to the door, the problem is they can't go any farther. You can set him down now. You don't have. All right. Now, at this point, if you skip ahead to the scripture, it says they let him down where Jesus was, right? But something had to happen between we are blocked and we made it. Something went on between we can't get through and we did get through. Something took place in somebody in this group that said, I will not be denied. I understand that the regular avenue is blocked, but just because the regular way is blocked, I got something inside me called faith that says, I will not be denied. Now, this is some of us. Some of us get to this point and we say,
well, must not be God's will. His face blocked.
I didn't even tell him to fake the accent. What do we say again?
Well, must not be God's will. His face blocked.
Yeah, I didn't even tell him to get up front. He just did. It just all worked out. Well, It must not be God's will for me because the regular avenue is blocked. My Bible says God sets before me an open door, and since this door is blocked, that must mean that it isn't his will, because God would have opened it up and made a way easy for me to walk in. That's not how it always works in the kingdom of God. Sometimes in the kingdom of God, your faith has got to get creative. Just because the regular way is blocked doesn't mean that God hasn't ordained you to get where you're getting. Now, here's how I know, because when God gives you faith, he gives you faith that says, when the river's wide, I'm still going to the other side. When the mountain is high, I'm still climbing the mountain. Amen. That's the kind of faith that God gives you. The kind that says, I won't be denied. What else do they say?
Well, maybe in another season of my life, but not now.
How many times have you said this? Have you came to the obstacle, whatever it is, whatever's in your way, whatever's blocking you, how many times have you said, well, maybe later, maybe at another time, maybe this season of my life doesn't warrant this to happen right now, so I'm just going to be patient and wait on the Lord. Let me tell you what happens when you wait on the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and they keep moving, don't they? Notice when you're waiting on the Lord, it never says they shall turn around or stand still. When you wait on the Lord, you can mount up with wings of an eagle, and you can get over the obstacle, or you can run around the obstacle, or you can march through the obstacle. Here's how faith works. Faith don't stop at the obstacle. Faith don't stop just because the normal way is blocked. Why are you preaching this? Because we've all got something in our life that we need God to move on. See, you got another one? Oh, yeah. What else do they say?
Well, that's the way it goes for me.
This is classic. This is absolutely classic. Well, that's how it is in my life. It may work like that for other people, but it don't work like that for me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't. See, y'all know, because y'all are the whiners. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'm telling you, leave it. The universe hates me. Y'all like Alfalfa on the Little Rascals. He said, and the skies opened up, and God said, I hate you, Alfalfa. That's how some of y'all feel. It's all set up against me. The answer, you want to be the good guy? The answer's in here preaching the word. They're trying to get him. Are you good? Do you need a pillow? Good, I like it. He ain't a whiner. The idea is to get him to him. And so the normal way is blocked, so what do? Somebody in the group, I'm not sure who it is, but somebody does something radical. They say, you know what we need to do? And they start looking at different angles. That's better than y'all gave it credit for. And they start looking around and they say, hey, let's get him up there. People, this is destruction of private property. This is not the normal way to get there. And I'm not condoning you do that. Go witness to somebody and bust their door down. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying this. You need to look for a different way. Because faith says this. The answer is over there. And even though it's blocked here, that doesn't mean that there's not a way for my faith to get me from where I am to where I long to be. So they pick him up. Go ahead, move some stuff. Stop. You know what? Stop. Yeah. You know what faith does? Faith works. Let me say it again. Faith works. Faith works. I got to tell y'all this story. We had a carpet guy that worked for us one time, and he went to put in some carpet at this lady's house, and he called me and he said, hey, there's furniture in this living room. We're going to leave and come back tomorrow. I said, just move the furniture. No, we didn't get paid to move the furniture. We didn't put that in our bid. I said, hang tight there just for 1 minute, just for 1 minute. And the place was like 5 minutes from me. I drove up there and I said, can I borrow one of your guys? And he said, yeah, sure. I said, okay. We moved the furniture out of that room in less than 10 minutes. In less than 10 minutes, the room was clean. I said, now you can go to work. And he looked at me and this is what he said. He said, well, you're a tile guy. I said, what has that got to do with moving furniture? Tile guys get paid more than carpet guys. Probably because we move the furniture and don't lose a day's labor and come back the next day. We get the job done. What do you mean? Let me tell you what faith does. Faith works. We live in a generation of lazy. We live in a generation that don't want to move anything. We live in a generation that wants the door open and an easy path. Faith says, I'll make it no matter how high the mountain is. Faith works.
Amen.
Faith without is dead. Oh, I believe, but I'm not going to do that. What do you mean? Faith pushes through. Faith keeps moving. Even when it looks bad, faith says, I'll find a way. Take him back down real quick. Take him back down real quick. The man that was sick of the palsy prayed a lot before he got there to Jesus, evidently. Bring him back over here, because here's what we do. We go to this point. Set it down. We go to this point right here, and we make statements like he was saying, and we say, well, you know, if God wants to move, he'll move. And you know what God is doing? Jesus is still over here preaching. He's still over here giving the word. The word will not return void. Right? So you're standing over here because there's something in the way and you're waiting on God to fix it all, and God's already gave you something inside of you that pushes past this to get you to where you ought to be. Can I testify for a minute? I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for a long time. Y'all know, skinny, had hair, been a long time. 17 years old, I started preaching. And I preach, and I preach in revivals and seen souls saved, and I'm not bragging. It wasn't fun sometimes. Sometimes it was miserable. Kids throwing up in the car because they got car sick. Whose fault is it that we're going to this church? Your pastor. Not me. Your pastor did it. It was miserable, and it was tough. But I just kept preaching. I'm still preaching. Here we are. What, 27 now? 10 years later. I'm kidding. My math is way off today. Still preaching. And I got somebody that I love really, really, really close to my heart. I've preached to her my whole life. I've gave her the word from the pulpit, from the living room, my whole life. I've tried to persuade her to believe my whole life. Let me tell you what happens when the obstacle comes forth. It's easy to say, I've done all I can do. It's easy to say, I've done enough. It's easy to say, how much more does God expect from me? It's something else when faith steps up and says, if that hasn't worked, you got to find another way around it and make sure you get it done. That's what faith does. So here's what we do. I want to preach. I want to tell them. I want to preach to them because it's what I do. I preach. It's why I can't lead service. I promise y'all, if I led service today, all them songs they sang, they wouldn't have got through them. Because between all of them, I'm going to preach. It's what I do. I preach. I want to preach. Preaching ain't working right now. So what are you going to do? You know what you need to do? You need to find a group. And I'm going to challenge you right now. Find you some people. some people of faith to start praying. Different angle. Different way. Push your plate aside. Fast a minute. Get a hold of God. Start praying again and saying, God, your spirit, I may not be able to preach to her, but I know your spirit has enough power that it can go where I can't and it can do a work that I can't do. So I'm going to keep praying. I'm going a different angle. Amen. Different angle. Go ahead. Sorry. Take him back. Four men, to you ladies, I want you to notice this. This story is more amazing than you can ever imagine. You know why? Because four men. The Bible says that four men let him down where Jesus was. You may not have a lot of faith. Get around people that do. I said, your faith may be weak right now. Find somebody else that's got faith. They let him down right where Jesus was. That's amazing. Four men agreed that this is the spot. Because you know how men are. Let's do it right here. Nah, let's not do it right there. It's going to be easy over here. It ain't as many trusses over here. We need to come over this way. No, right where Jesus was, they let him down. And when I read this story, you may have missed something. Because the Bible says Jesus saw something. This is in verse 5, in whatever chapter it is. Chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to watch this. When Jesus saw, whose faith did he see? Their faith. Their faith. He's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. These men right here had some faith. And so we ask ourselves, how much does what I do matter in the life of others? A lot. A lot. Why do you say that? Because you're an intercessor. You are a person who can intercede. What do you mean? God looks at your faith. He sees your faith. He sees the group's faith. He's seen their faith. And this is what he did. He said, son, can I preach this for a minute? It's one of my favorite things in the Bible. Because all we know about this man is he is sick of the palsy. He's called sick of the palsy, sick of the palsy, sick of the palsy, sick of the palsy. He's labeled by his condition until he gets to Jesus. Once he gets to Jesus, Jesus doesn't call him sick of the palsy. Jesus says, son. That man was adopted in one word. He went from being an outcast to a son of God in one word. Let me tell you what Jesus does. He adopts us into his family with one word. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Why? He saw their faith. He was blessed because of their faith. So what are you doing? What you need to find somebody. You need to join yourself to somebody and you need to start praying. Why? Because Jesus will see your faith and move on your behalf. You say, oh, be it unto you according to your faith. This wasn't about his faith. This was about their faith. Why you? I'm telling you, it's time for the church to start interceding again. I don't need another sermon. I don't need another church service. I need a move of God that'll save our community and get people free that are bound. So now, there's some religious folks, and there's always religious folks, church folk. Are you saved? I've been going to church since I was, how they talk. Yeah. Well, that's how church folk talk. I think we should have revival. Well, I'm tired when I get off work. Me too. I think maybe we should do some extra services. Well, that's mine and Charlene's bingo night. Oh, you don't think it happens? Mr. Sick of the Palsy is deciding to laugh up here and talk now that he's adopted. Jesus comes to him. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The religious people, the church folk, what's he doing? What is he doing? Jesus picks up on it. That'd be enough for me. He knew what they were thinking. He said, why are you reasoning thus in your heart? Is it easier for me to say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? I think the point he's making is he's able to do both. But the greater miracle is to forgive the sins. But he says, but to show y'all, he said, rise and walk. Take up your bed and walk. Brother Eddie taught us that the reason Jesus did that is so no other saint would climb in it. Thank y'all. Not you. Come up here. Y'all good. They'll take up your bed. Who is this person in your life? Who is the person you've been praying for that's bound and you're wondering how it's going to happen? Let me tell you how it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. How much rides on you? Faith. Faith, your faith, can move mountains. Your faith can heal. The elders can pray for you and your sins be forgiven. That's in your Bible. So how much of this is on us? Give me my four again. Come back over here. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I promise. I'm gonna let y'all go. I won't get you back on table. Get back around him. Give me something. Anybody got something shiny? Huh? No, that'd be ugly. Yeah, that's kind of shiny. I don't need no comments either. About shiny stuff. I got to tell y'all this story real quick. This has nothing to do with the sermon, but I got to tell you this. There was an old elder in a church one time. He preached for a long time, and he was regarded really high in the church, and I preached there one service, and they said, hey, Brother Billy wants to talk to you. And I was like, man, I'm feeling good. Like, this guy's an elder. They love him there, and he's wanting to tell me something after the sermon. And I walked up to him, and they said he cried when he talked because he was real tender-hearted. And I knelt down, and he said, I was noticing when you was preaching, your head is awful shiny. God bless you too, old man. I didn't say that, but I thought he was going to give me words of wisdom or comfort or encouragement. No. Anyway, as they're going along, here's what happens. You're on a mission. But here's what the enemy does. The enemy tries to get your attention. And he tries to distract you over here. And you resist for a minute because you understand the importance of your calling. And you keep coming and you turn away and you fight. But, here's where we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we turn aside and we leave our post. Now watch what happens. You can move up here to the front, and then you two can get in the back. And can they still get him there? Is it going to be a little more difficult? Yes. So the enemy understands that, and he's going to try to keep you over here as long as he can. And then he's going to find you. And you're going to say, not today, Satan. And you're going to post it. And everybody's going to think you're serious. But the enemy's going to keep until finally. And then you know what happens? This happens in real life, people. And then you know what happens? And then you know what you do? You say, Pastor, preach it to him. Preach it to him. Preach it to him. Get it out of him. You know what amazes me about some people? They don't bring their kids to church. They let them decide whether they come to church or not. And I'm preaching on you, not to you, on you. Because then what happens is they don't have any church background because you let them choose. And then you come to me and you say, Pastor, will you help me pray? My kid's a heathen. And I'm like, if you'd have brought them to church, I could have preached out of them what you're trying to get me to pray out of them, and we'd both be in a better place right now. And that didn't cost you anything, but I just want to let you know. If a kid's got a choice whether to stay home and watch TV or get up in the morning and come to church, let me tell you, they're heathens. Their nature's broken. Oh, let me preach on you dads for a minute. This has nothing to do with the sermon. You're the pastor of your house. Be the pastor of your house. Okay, there's enough of that. You're in trouble. The reason you're in trouble is because they've got distracted. We can't let the enemy distract us from our mission. Because people need our help. Darren, if I'm not in right standing with God and somebody comes and asks me for prayer, I don't have time to fast and pray and get my confidence right with God. We got to be ready. And here's how the mercy of God works. I know you messed up. I know you did. You've asked for forgiveness. Get back in the fight. 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 Ain't that the mercy of God? We've lost some ground during all this. You hear me? We've lost some ground in all this. Yeah, we're back in right standing with God, but we're not where we should be at that moment. Amen. Come on, musicians. I was hoping it was Rogaine. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. Whose faith did he see? Whose faith did he see? Their faith. Their faith. You got a spouse that's lost? Stir up your faith. You got a kid that's lost? Stir up your faith. Somebody told me about somebody starting a church not too far from here. People are like, I just don't know. I said, man, I hope they do awesome. Man, I hope they do awesome. You know why I hope they do awesome? Because maybe somebody from their congregation will be on fire for God and run into somebody I'm praying for and lead them to Jesus. Man, I hope the congregation catches on fire and they go out and witness and they run into Nick somewhere. They share the gospel with him, Johnny. You don't have to be one of us. Man, this is, Jesus got a big body. I want to activate my faith. God, move in our area. God, move in our families. Put down the distractions. We got a job to do. I want to walk in confidence with God. Not always begging for forgiveness. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. There's no shame in that. There's power in restoration. I just don't want to lose ground. As they sing this song right now, here's how we work this. If God has dealt with your heart on any level, if you need to pray, the altar's open. The altar is not a place of shame. It's a place of power. It's a place of renewal, revival, restoration. If you're lost, come to the altar. We're rooting for you. We'll pray with you because we've all been there. Being a sinner don't make you a bad person. It makes you a person. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. God's dealing with your heart on any level. Be the first to step up and say, you know what? You preached to me today. I've got some things in my life that I've just stopped working on. I need God to activate my faith. I need God to stir me up again. As he prays, would you come? Would you come? Go ahead, Josh, sing. As we sing this song, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray around you. Man, we're going to heaven and we want you to go with us.